We continue our learning. We're in Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Smichas Zekenim. The Mishnah is going to tell us that Smichas Zekenim, according to Rabbi Shimon, is done with three Dayanim. What's Smichas Zekenim? So, generally speaking, a korban yachid requires smicha. What does it mean? The owner of the korban, before, while the animal's still alive, before it's slaughtered, puts his hands on the head of the korban with all his might, leans on it. That we call smicha. He's somech. He leans on it. And it's the zvidu, he says, zvidu, he confesses on that korban. Korbanos tzibur, though, in general, do not require smicha, except for two. One that we're familiar with is Soir Mishtalech on Yom Kippur. We know that is a public offering, and the Kohen Gadol does smicha on that. But there's another korban tzibur as well that requires smicha, leaning on the head of the animal before it's slaughtered, and that's known as the par helem davar shel tzibur. What's a par helem davar shel tzibur? Which means a bull that's brought because of some forgetfulness of the people of the congregation. Here we're speaking about a case where the Sanhedrin made a certain halachic ruling regarding a potential iser kares. So take, for example, let's say the Beis Din said that rice cakes are not food, and therefore you can eat them on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur, of course, is an iser kares. So, you know, rice cakes is really it's like eating cardboard, and therefore nothing wrong with eating on Yom Kippur. So what happens? So most of Am Yisrael, what do? So they, okay, I may as well, rice cakes better than nothing. So they eat rice cakes on Yom Kippur. Then they realize, after Yom Kippur, they realize, oh, you know, really, the rice cakes are really food, based on our Hora, based on our ruling. Look at all the people who did something that potentially would be Mechayev them Kares. So what's the halacha here? Since this was a mistake of the Sanhedrin, they have to bring a par helem davar shel tzibur. This is where there was a forgetfulness. People didn't know what the halacha was, and they made this mistake. So the Sanhedrin has to bring, as the pasuk says in Vayikra Dalid, v'hikrivu hakahal par ben bakar lechatas. This is a korban tzibur and requires smicha of members of the Sanhedrin. The pasuk says, v'samchu ziknei ha'edah esi dehem rosh par. So This is what our Mishnah means, is smichas zekenim, and Rabbi Shimon says that this par helem davar shel tzibur that has members of the Sanhedrin leaning their hands on it, when it's brought, based on this erroneous ruling that they made, all it needs are three members of the Sanhedrin. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says ziknei ha'edah. Ziknei, minimum of ziknei is two. And then we have the rule, ain't based in shekel, based in cannot have an even number, so we have to be able to win by the majority, and therefore we always a Beis Din needs to be an odd number, and we add on a third. That's how we have three. Now, according to the Gemara, this is all Rabbi Shimon's opinion regarding Smicha Zekenim. The Gemara says that there's another interpretation of Smicha Zekenim, what we know as Smicha. Vayismoches Yadav Alav. This is where Moshe appointed Yeshua as the next leader. Now, our smicha today, well, I shouldn't say today, even after the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, when smicha was given, it was not, in the days of the Tanaim, let's say as well, you didn't have to put your hand on anyone's head. It was enough to say, I'm going to call this person. We see he's learned, he's been tested, he's very learned, and therefore he can be a Mora Hora, he can give halachic rulings, and you call the person Rebbe, and you give him permission to judge money matters, judge Isra Veheter, judge Dine Knossos, cases of penalties or fines. This smicha can only be done Eretz Israel, and a person can only get smicha from someone who has smicha. So only someone who has smicha can confer smicha on someone else. So that's also something that needs smicha zekenim. That's another interpretation of smicha zekenim, and that needs three dayanim, but one of those dayanim at least has to have smicha. The Mishnah says in name Rabbi Shimon as well, that what else needs three dayanim? Arifas Egla. Arifas Egla, this is where, well, we know it as Egla Arufa, when you find a corpse in the field, you don't know who killed the person. So it says that V'yatsu zikeinecha v'shovtecha umadadu el ha'orim ashtaros ha'chalal. And who comes out to measure? Members of the Sanhedrin come out, and they measure which is the closest city. How many people do the measuring? So says Rabbi Shimon, and it's enough to have two members of the Sanhedrin come along. After all, it says Zikenecha. So Zikenecha is plural, and then Ein based in Shakal. So there you have three. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And now, although the Mishnah says Arifas Egla, the breaking of the back and the neck of the Egla, that's what happens after you measure to the closest city. After members of the Sanhedrin, three members of the Sanhedrin measure the closest city, So then the people, now that we know the closest city, the Beis Din of that city deals with the ceremony of the Arifas Egla. So it doesn't really mean when Mishnah says Arifas Egla, the breaking of the back of the neck of the calf needs three people. It's not true. It's the measuring, which is the closest city, that needs three, and those are three members of the Sanhedrin. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon regarding Smichas Akenim, and Arifas Egla need three. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bachamisha. He says, Smichas Akenim on the Par Helim Davashal Tibur, or the measuring of the Egla Arufa, needs five members of the Sanhedrin. Because the Pasuk says, Samachu Ziknei Ho'eda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, don't ignore the word Visamachu. Visamachu is two, that's plural, and Ziknei is two, that's four. Ain't based in Shakel, can't have an even number, so you need an odd number, you add on one more, and that's five. And regarding Egla Arufa, it says Zikeinecha v'shoftecha. So that's also five. Zikeinecha is two, shoftecha is two, and on one more, and based on shukl, you have five. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Mishnah continues, Hachalitza v'hameunim b'shlosha. Regarding chalitza, where the brother-in-law doesn't want to do yibum, so he does chalitza, the whole chalitza ceremony, removing, where the woman, the sister-in-law, removes the shoe and spits on the floor in front of him. So this, the pasuk says, le'enei hazikenim v'chaltzana alo, she removes the shoe, and this is all done, the ceremony, le'enei hazikenim, zikenim is two, ain based in shakel, add on one more, and there we have three. There is a mitzvah, however, to add on even another two judges in order to publicize that the chalitza was done, and therefore, although technically you only need three, the halacha is that we should have five. What's mi'unim? So mi'un is refusal. This is where a father, we know midoraisa, can marry off his daughter when she's a ketana. But if the father's not alive and the mother or brother marries her off, she's only married midorabanan. And she, up until age 12, she can, or at age 12, she could refuse that marriage and decide she doesn't want to be married. She doesn't even need a get. That mi'un should be done in takaras chachamim. Really, minatora, the kiddushin is nothing. She really is able to refuse without a based in at all. Nonetheless, the chachamim said there should be three people there because we wanted to follow the general rule of batei dinim to have three people. Then the Mishnah says neta ravai umaser sheni shein dam of yidun mishlosha. Neta ravai, the fruit of the fourth year, first 3 years of a fruit tree are the fruit is arla. That's true both in Eretz Israel and chutz laaretz halacha l'moshe misinai. And the fourth year the fruit is neta ravai, and that has to be treated like maser sheni produce, which is brought to you. You're allowed to eat it in the fourth year, but it has to be in Yushalayim. If you don't want to schlep it to Yushalayim, so then you have to be poda it on coins. So that's pidia, that pidyon has to be done in front of a beis din of three, who know the value of the fruit and know exactly how to appraise it in order to know what coins you're going to bring. That would be true regarding Master Shani as well. And ain dumb of you doing, what do you mean you don't know its value? Let's say you have fruit that is spoiled a little bit. So it's not very clear what their value is. You need a beis din that's going to appraise its value in order to do the pidyon, the redemption onto coins, so and those coins are brought to Yerushalayim and spent there. Ha-hekdeshos bishlosha. Hekdeshos, person wants to come, something he designated to the Beis HaMikdash as hekdesh, but he now, let's say, for Bet HaKabayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, but he now wants to take that back. He designated a table that can be used now. They're going to sell and use that money for Beit HaKabayis, for the Beis HaMikdash. And now he says, you know, I want that table back. So he's able to be poda from Hekdesh, but you need three experts who can appraise its value as that. And you need, that's when Hekdesh is Bishlosha. Ha'arachin ha'mitaltalin Bishlosha. Person says, Erech Ploni Alai. I am going to give the value of the fixed value of this person, that value to the Beis HaMikdash. What's Erech? So we from the end of Parshas, in Parshas of the Chukosai, we have the whole Parsha of Erechim. There's a fixed amount. It's not based on whether what your value is as an Eved sold as a slave, but rather it is a fixed value. Let's say a male from 20 to 60, it says his value is 60 shekel. So it is 50 shekel. So if a person says, I want to give Erech of this part, this 35-year-old male, he owes money to the Beis HaMikdash. And he can give, he doesn't have money, he gives Metaltalim. But if he's giving movable objects, we need to know their value to make sure that they value that 50 shekel that he promised, that he vowed to give as part of Erchin. So you need a Beis Din to appraise that. So therefore, you need three. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Echad Mehen, Kohen. Says Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the evaluating the Erchin, one of those three members of the Beis Din needs to be a Kohen, because the pasuk says, Ke'erkacha HaKohen. V'harkarkos, let's say a person promised this Erech, this 50 shekel, to the Beis HaMikdash, the value of a male between 20 and 60, and now he doesn't have movable. Let's say he has land, and we're looking at real estate now to see, okay, how much real estate does he have that now is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash? And this would be true, let's say someone just was Maktish his Kaka, he had a piece of land, and he says, I want to give this piece of land to the Beis HaMikdash. And now, he decides, changes his mind, he wants to redeem them. So when it comes to Karka, and we're dealing with Hektesh and Karka, how many people do we need on that Beis Din? Says the Mishnah, Tisha v'Kohen. You need 10 men, and one of them needs to be a Kohen. The Adam, let's say we're speaking about a person, what does that mean? We have to evaluate a person's, a human being's value for Hektesh. Let's say someone says, Demei Ploni Alai. This is not using the fixed value of Erechim as we have in Parashas B'chukosai. This is where you're going to give the value of a person as he's normally sold as a slave. So that's Adam. So that also needs to be evaluated. And so the Mishnah says, V'adam kayota behem. An Adam is going to be the same. You appraise the person like you appraise land, which is 10 people, and one of them has to be a Kohen. Why do we compare a person to land? Because how do I evaluate a person based on his value as an Eved? And there's a Hekesh, there's a comparison between an Eved Kanani and Karka and land. Pasuk says in Parashas Bahar, V'hiznachal temo sub l'v'necham achreim l'rosh ha'sach uzah, l'olam b'hem tavodu. We compare an Eved Kanani to property, just like property is inherited, so too the Eved Kanani is inherited, unless there's a mitzvah and you would emancipate him. Otherwise, no, he's considered property. He's inherited by the family. He's considered the property of his owner. So if we're going to evaluate a person when it comes to giving his value to the Beis HaMikdash, not the fixed value, but his value as sold as a slave, so then it should follow whatever the rules are for Karka, which is 10, and one of them is the Kohen. Now, how do I know that? How do I know that Karka needs 10 people where one of them is the Kohen? So the answer is because it says the word Kohen in the Parsha of Hektesh, in Vayikra Chav Zayin, the Parsha of Bechukzai says it 10 times. The Herichos so ha Kohen, let's say, Kerkoha Kohen, Vichishavloa Kohen. So if you put that all together, so now I have, so what is 10? And it says, and so I view this as follows. We say that one of those words, Kohen, is there, Lugufo, to tell you you need a Kohen. And what are all the Kohanim? That doesn't mean you need 10 Kohanim. Each Kohen, what we call Miut Achar Miut, each Kohen is there, really comes as is exclusionary term. And it's there, instead of coming to tell you need a Kohen, it's come to tell you, no, you need one Kohen you need. And then the fact that it says Kohen, 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 on and on, that's what we call miut achar miut. It's an exclusionary term, and therefore we end up with only one Kohen that we need, and nine which can be, do not have to be Kohanim. Perek Aleph Mishnah Daled Dinei Nefashos Be'esra Mishlosha. Where we have cases of capital crimes where there's going to be an Onesh Misa, you need 23. Haroveah v'hanir ba'besim shlosha. What else needs 23? Roveah, this is bestiality. Roveah is the case where the animal is the male, and the woman who's doing the Avera, of course, is the female. Hanirba is where the animal is the female, and the man is the human being, is the male. So in this case, Besim Mishlosh, you need 23. Why? Because the halach is the Ichayv Skila. Shenayim Ma'ava Harakta, say Isha, Besa Behema. Pasuk says, and the whole Pasuk is the Isha, Asher Tikrav El Kol Behema L'Riva Osa. This is where it's a woman and a male animal. V'harakta, say Isha, Besa Behema. So we compare the halacha is the Rovea, which is where the animal is the male, has the same halacha as the female. Just like a woman, they both get skila, but just like a woman we know is judged with 23, so to the behema should be judged with a basin of 23. The omer, and the pasuk also says regarding nirbah, this is where the animal is the female. It says vesa behemat harogu. The full pasuk is v'isha shari tenis shachav to behema. Most you must. This is the animal is the female, and what does it say? You're supposed to kill the male vesa behemat harogu. The male dies and the behema dies. They get skila. So here too, we have a comparison between the misa of the behema and the misa of the human being. Just like the human being gets skila through a basin of 23, so too the animal gets skila through a basin of 23. Then the Mishnah says shor haniskal. Shor haniskal is a shor that's supposed ox that's supposed to be stone. Doesn't have to be an ox. Could be any animal that killed a person. Halacha is you give it skila basin mishlosha. You need a basin of 23 to judge on that matter. Shneamar hashor yisakel vamba vagamba olav you must. So there, the pasuk says that kol yisakel hashor, you don't eat the, you can't eat the meat of the animal, and hashor yisakel, you stone the shore, and the gamba love you must. What is the gamba love you must? We don't kill the owner. Halacha is that a baal, an owner, is not chayv misa. Misa is based in if his animal killed a person. Because it says, most yumas hamakeh rotseachu. You are chayv where you do the ritzicha, you do the murder, not where your animal does the murder. So what does it mean, v'gamba alav, you must? Says the Mishnah, kimisas habaylim kach misas hashor. That's what it's there to teach me. It doesn't mean that you're going to kill the owner. It means that the same number of people who are on the basedin, if the man or chayev misa, so too, that's the basedin you should need, the number for where the animal does the killing. And since a human being has a basedin of 23, so too, the shor that killed a person should have a basedin of 23 to be judged for its skila. Then the Mishnah says, as a ev, lahari, hadov, hamnomer, hamardlas, hanachash. Zev is a wolf, ari is a lion, dov is a bear, namer is a leopard, bardalas, according to some, is a cheetah, and a nachash. And these animals, which we remember from Bava Kama, are a muad. Start out as mu, what is supposed to shore, that starts out as the shore tam, until it cores three times. We assume these animals are mu lechatchila, to cause damage, to cause harm, to cause injury. Misa son, besim mishlosha. They are going to be judged for skila through a basin of 23. Speaking about a case where these animals have been trained somewhat, and they have an owner. If they don't have an owner, so they're not in the same category. We're speaking about animals that have an owner, and therefore the pasuk of the gamba love you must would apply. Rabbi Eliezer Omer kalakodem lahargon zacha. We also have this from Bava Kama as well. He says it's a good idea to kill them yourself. You don't have to bring them to Beis Din. These animals are a danger to the public, and therefore you if you can kill them right away, you should kill them right away. Rabbi Akiva Omer misa son best for the shlosher. No, they should be killed with a Beis Din of 23. Isn't that what the Tanakhama said? In what way Rabbi Akiva disagreeing? So Rabbi Akiva is distinguishing between the other animals and a nachash and a snake. All the other ones should be killed with a basin of 23, but a nachash, there I agree with Rabbi Eliezer that kol hakodim lahargo zacha, to get rid of the mazik from the world. Tanakhama holds though that even a nachash should be killed by a basin of 23.